This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We asked you the question this afternoon, what have you been overtaken by?
Yeah.
And you had some very good ones for us,
lovely.
So thanks for that. We also spoke to Marcus Burbman, a comedian who's just been on Britain's Got Talent, got to the semi-finals.
Did very well, yeah, he's off on tour, marcusburbman.com for tickets.
He played the celebrity combination lock.
He didn't knock the lock. Yes.
But not him. And what else did we do for you?
We spoke to the Moose, Paul, who's on the road to Prague.
He's a solo road trip. He's gone by car to Prague from Boreham Wood in Hertfordshire for the Europa Conference final.
You've told me about his travels before and how he's not a great tourist, but I'd never seen it in action.
I've seen him upset Brazilians, the French, whenever I've gone with him. He's just a disaster. Russians, terrible. So anyway, you'll hear the Moose on tour. Not a pretty thing. But anyway, here it all is.
How are you feeling?
Well, yes.
Excited. I know it's been rumbling away for a long old time. And here he is, the big saviour, Ange Postecoglou.
Well, potentially. Delighted to have a manager in place 72 days later, I think it is. And also, yeah, look, all the signs are he's a good man and a good manager. He's done very well in Scotland. We'll find out how well he can adapt his philosophy to the Premier League, but he seems like a good egg. He's got a huge job on his hands. There's so many things got to be sorted out. I'm delighted it's a four-year contract because I think it's a real statement of intent. I've often felt there's not too many players at Tottenham think they can outlast the manager and just can go and see the chairman and get rid of the manager when they don't like him. We've seen a couple of examples of that. Well, with a four-year contract, that will focus the mind.
Seems a long contract, Paul.
That is at last, hopefully, the board saying, this. You know, we're in for the long haul with this guy. We'll see. We know what football's like. But there's a lot of recruitment to be done. They've got to get rid of... One of the toughest jobs at Tottenham, unfortunately, is letting players move on. I spoke to a former manager who'd worked under this regime, and he talked about the frustration sometimes of going to them and saying, I'm not going to be using that player anymore. I think it's about time they moved on. And Tottenham having completely unrealistic expectations of what they can get for those players, which means they stick around.
Yeah.
They're often at the training ground. It causes problems. And sometimes managers just want players gone, and there's been a reluctance to do that at times. Slight red flag.
Can you give an example of a player, Lucas Moura, I'm thinking maybe, or?
Well, not so much that. I mean, I just think there's been lots of players. You look at the amount of players that Tottenham have out on loan. Sometimes you need to cut your ties. I know it's an accounting thing, but I think players have stuck around at Tottenham simply because other clubs didn't meet the valuation, because those valuations were often unrealistic. And a slight red flag, I was wondering whether Ange was going to turn back at Scotch Corner today when he saw the story. Not, who knows whether it's true, but there's a story saying that Tottenham would like David Raya from Brentford, who've brought in another keeper, so they're expecting it. We've heard Thomas Frank say he thinks he's worth 40 million. I know it's a negotiation, but the word once again is that we're offering 20 because that's what we think he's worth, which is not realistic. You know, maybe we're somewhere in the middle. And again, I know it's a negotiation, but it's that classic thing of Tottenham and this ball wanting top dollar for players that we don't want, having a high expectation of what our current players are worth and not being prepared to meet other clubs' valuations for players, which is why I think we've missed out on some over that period. So recruitment, a lot of dead wood, quite a lot of players that you've got to move on, absolutely. You've got to build that bridge with the fans again, and he strikes me as the kind of coach that will do that. So the signs are good on that front. He's going to have to find a new captain. He's going to have to try and keep Harry Kane. Who knows?
I was going to say, do you think it's enough to keep Kane, or do you think that ship sailed anyway?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, a lot of that will do with the chairman and who he wants to sell to and whether he's prepared to take that chance of Kane going into the final year of his contract and hoping Postecoglou does do a good job and Kane thinks he's got a chance and he may sign a new contract. Mm-hmm. That's the gamble. Or, you know, he walks away for nothing and Spurs miss out on sort of 90-100 million quid. That's what he needs to weigh up. But, you know, he's a pretty key player for Spurs and I'm sure Postecoglou's got a steer on that already. Yeah. But yeah, the signs are good. The sort of football he wants to play is promising. The sort of football. I mean, I was funny enough. I went
it's
back.
It's a Spurs type game. He likes, you know, isn't it?
Yeah, it's front foot football. I went back last night because where they've been really tested. I mean, obviously in the SPL they've been dominant in the 2 years he's been there, and he's done a very good job, recruited well, especially from Japan. But when they were in the Champions League, they did struggle a bit. And I went back and watched some sort of highlights of the two Real Madrid games where they did get well beaten, but there were periods in both of those games, they had periods where we were better finishing and better decision making. They could have had round, they might not have won the tie, but they certainly wouldn't have got gubbed as they did in the second or beaten at home in the first. So, look, he is a bold manager, you know, and it's going to be a period of adjustment and it might not work straight away. We're seeing everybody else strengthening.
He strikes me as that sort of man, you know, an impressive type of man who knows himself, knows the football he wants knows the culture he wants to create. Yeah. You know, exactly what Spurs need, really.
He's inheriting a few other recruitment issues because, I mean, Tottenham have got Destiny Udoji coming in from Udinese. He's a wing-back, loves playing wing-back, doesn't really operate anywhere else. Has tried full-back, apparently, in Italy, and it hasn't really worked because it's not his game. You've got Pedro Porro, effectively, is a wing-back, and he's a guy who plays four at the back.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Francis Leach in a minute, who's a friend of his, Australian football journalist, and talk about what a big story it is over there in Australia. But also, I mean, we just had with Conte, a coach that was wedded to a system, whether he had the players to do it or not.
Sure.
And he just would try and fit those players into the system that he loved, and that's why ultimately it didn't work out. One of the reasons why. So it'll be interesting to see what Francis has got to say about Postecoglou, because he is going to find himself with quite a lot of players that prefer being part of a three at the back, you know, the players they've invested quite heavily in. So
I'd like to pitch a nickname to you for him.
Oh, yeah.
I know there's been a few flying around. Someone who goes out and gets a lot of bargains. He's good at getting bargains.
He has bought some very good players at good prices,
Ange Postecoglou.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm just pitching that for you now.
Is
Paul,
that what you're calling
it? I'm just pitching it as a nickname for further down the line.
Postecoglou. Was my mate Terry calls it the £100 shop.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Well, that was before the cost of living rise, but Terry said, I'm just off down the £100 shop. It's impossible to go in there. I went in for six bags of sugar and I spent over 100 quid. Bought a little bedside cabinet.
Yeah, lovely,
went to the £100 shop.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, there we are.
Anyway, we move on. Glenn Moore, friend of the show, comedian, Sheffield Wednesday fan. Posted something on Twitter the other day, and he'd obviously gone out. I think he was doing the park.
He's doing the park run.
Doing the park run, wasn't he? Yeah, park run. That's right. He was doing. If that's not their official song, then they've
park runs are. People don't know what a park run is. It's Saturday mornings. You can go and do a 3 mile run, officially timed, with a chip in your phone, and you're up against all sorts of people in your age group, all stuff. But it's mainly for fun and to keep people out and running. But I think Glenn went and did it. And he was passed by somebody wearing jeans.
Yeah, got overtaken on park run by a guy in jeans. Now, I'm sure you can beat that. I mean, a guy in jeans is just scratching the surface with you lot. Yeah. So whether you've gone out for a run, you've been in the car, you've been burnt up at the lights by, you know, a milk float, I don't know what it is, but what have you been overtaken by?
You've done some 10Ks and some half marathons, and you always get passed by someone
80-year-old club 80 runners.
The thing is, though, 80-year-old club runners, and their running style, they're like crouched up and they're
like
shuffling
along. But they don't feel they're wearing a Harrier's vest or something, they're club runners. And so I think it doesn't matter if you're 80, if you've been you've probably been doing that since you were 20.
They're Ron Hills, they're 60-year-old Ron Hills, they're running by you in.
So, today we'd like to know, I once got overtaken by ... Let us know your stories. Talksport.com, text 1889, tweet TSH and J.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport, and we're on documentary corner at the moment. We're just chatting to John Lloyd about Gods of Tennis. We turn now to football, and a new documentary called Local Heroes. And that we're going to be talking about that very shortly.
Yeah, lovely.
I think we're talking about it now. This is me throwing to a guest there.
It's not now, Paul.
Probably Tony Woodcock's flying around trying to get on Zoom. Sorry, Tony, relax. You got 10 minutes. I messed up my timings, not for the first time. So, yeah, we'll do that a little bit later on.
We've been asking when did people pass you after.
What did you get? What did you get overtaken by?
That's what we've been asking, isn't it? You know, so it's after our good friend Glenn. Glenn Moore was overtaken a park run at the weekend by someone in jeans.
Yeah,
a bit dispiriting, isn't it, Paul? But there we are. In the mid 80s, my friend and I did the Sutton Half Marathon. This is Kevin, the Charlton fan. We were overtaken by the winner of the full marathon.
Oh,
it was two laps for them. Have you ever watched a professional marathon, Paul?
Well, I've been involved in races that have a professional element. I used to do the Boot for 10K every year.
Professional
for
elephant.
London. A professional elephant. It was quite quick, really. Quicker
quite
than
fast.
Enough. Professional element. So I'd be running up against Mo Farah.
Really?
And I'd just be heading out as Mo was heading back. And all the other elite
They
runners.
Are sprinting, aren't they?
Yeah.
It is unbelievable, the pace
you see
going.
The elite runners go past you the other way and you're going, oh, leave off. Stop showing off. I mean, it is a ridiculous pace they go and they're just about to finish. It's just crazy.
So too much.
Bit of a shock. I ran the London Marathon in 1995, says Graham in Worthing. Got overtaken by a Viking longship.
That's nice.
The fancy dress element must be. I mean, if you're overtaken by a bloke carrying a fridge or something like that. I did the park run once in Highbury Fields and was overtaken by a guy pushing a pram with a baby in it.
Oh, very nice.
Says Harry the United
fan. In the 80s, in the mid-80s, Newton Abbott Carnival.
Oh, yeah.
My mum and dad and some family friends made a bus out of plywood.
They made a bus out of plywood?
A bus out of plywood. Put over the top of us.
Okay, yeah.
And there were about six of us kids all in roller skates.
Wow.
And we skated around the Newton Abbott Carnival.
What could possibly go wrong? Were you all okay?
Yes, there's a photo. There's photo evidence.
Wow.
I think we won a prize. Newton Abbott Carnival.
What's your...
There we are.
What was the best... kids in a bus on roller skates.
I don't know if there's a roller skate category. It was. I don't know. I'll have to find out.
You're still good on the skates, Charlie? Can you still turn it on?
Yeah, I could do a bit of skating. Yeah. Rollerblades I got quite into in the
It'd be nice if you could rollerblade to work. A pair of very tight shorts.
It's a good look for me, I think.
You've trimmed... We've been having quite an Australian theme today, and we're going to continue it. Have you seen the film Chopper?
I've accidentally trimmed the beard. Accidentally.
Yeah. And it's made you look a bit quite villainous.
I think it's a bit more like, who's the lead singer of Lemmy? Motorhead.
It has got a bit of a Lemmy feel to it.
A Lemmy feel to it.
It's got a bit of a Lemmy feel. And it's also got
a gamble, I tell you, I'm your man.
It's a bit Alan Rickman in Robin Hood.
Yeah. It'll grow back, Paul. That was the thing. I was trimming it for a thing last night, for a gig last night. And I put a big hole in the beard, the chin beard bit.
Yeah.
I thought, I can't style that out, so I've just sort of trimmed it down. Not sure it quite works. I look like one of those men who's tried to trim their beard to give themselves a jawline.
It's made you look harder. It's made you look
like that.
Normally, you're quite sort of cuddly.
It's since I ran that 14-year-old out.
Yeah.
When quite like it.
Yeah. It's given you a bit of edge. So maybe that's the way to go. I don't know. I was once overtaken by a delivery chap on his bike whilst I was leathering it down the East Lanx Road on my shiny new Italian racing bike and in Lycra.
That's annoying, isn't it? Yeah, we got all the gear.
He even had the food in the basket on the front. Richard, the City fan, off to Istanbul. Have a good, safe journey.
It's a similar story. This is Craig. A friend of mine is a keen cyclist. He was out riding one day in South Wales and he noticed one of those cyclists in the distance, head to toe in Sky cycling kit. Oh, yeah, you want to get them. He made it his duty to bust a gut to catch Skyman. As he overtook Skyman, he gave him a quick nod and noticed Skyman was Geraint Thomas.
Ah, okay.
The Sky Rider.
So a bloke, literally a Skyman,
unbelievable.
Yes.
There we are. Thank you, Craig. Very nice.
Nick says, 5 years ago, I ran the London Marathon. 50 yards from the finish, I got passed by a licorice allsort. It was Bertie Bassett in full kit.
Oh, no.
I thought, I'm not having that. I tried to kick again, but had nothing in the tank to beat Bertie to the line.
Should have had a couple of all sorts.
Yeah.
Bit of the extra sugar.
Yes.
Bertie Bassett. That's a good costume, actually, isn't it? Bertie Bassett.
That's quite colourful. Yeah,
what could you do that with boxes, couldn't you, Paul? It'd be lovely.
Neville in Milton Keynes, brackets, big Rick Astley fan.
Oh, right, that's nice.
You're going to Glasgow then.
He's never going to give you up, Paul.
Well, he's not. I got overtaken by a carrot just before the finish line at the London Marathon. It's quite... this is the thing, isn't it? Safe to say it ruined the finish photo after he just... dipped in front of me.
It's a lot of
beaten
people,
by a carrot.
There's a lot of time people have done the marathon and then they've got to find another way to get, you know, the focus on them. And so they dress up to do it. You know, there's a bloke who runs around where I live, and he runs around dressed as a stormtrooper, as a Star Wars stormtrooper.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you qualified that. Yeah.
We just qualified.
Bit dark. Yeah. Blimey. That sounds nice around your way. That's brilliant. Yeah.
Runs around dressed as a Star Wars stormtrooper.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But it's like all year. He says, I'll have to practice in the gear.
Yeah, that sounds like a bit of attention seeking to me. I could be wrong. Maybe it's, it's just.
Feels a bit attention-y.
Yeah.
You know.
Also a bit scary. I mean, if you're some old lady gone out to get your pension money, yeah, and some and there he is running along in the old white just behind you. Hello, Mrs.
This is not the post office you are looking for.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? Lovely thought. Friend of mine is a keen cyclist. We've done that one, haven't we?
We've done that one. There's hundreds of them.
Yes. I once borrowed my father's bike, which was put together with bikes he found. Yeah, I had a neighbour who used to do that. Bits of old bike together.
Nice.
Unfortunately, on the flat, I was overtaken by a four-year-old girl with stabilisers who rang a bell to get me out of the way, says Rich in Swansea. Thank you very much, Rich.
There's all sorts of these, yeah. Not overtaken, but a couple of years ago, I was doing 100-kilometre continuous... Oh, this is really good. All the gear sort of stuff.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Really good, isn't it? Not overtaken. A couple of years ago, I was doing 100-kilometre continuous walk. Mm. We had all the kit, walking poles, rehydration tablets, lot. And then we saw a bloke doing it in jeans, wellies, and carrying a Tesco meal deal and a carrier bag.
That's not good, is it?
Your iron rations. Yeah. That's Rob in Southampton. Thank you, Rob. We're excited for 3 o'clock, aren't we, Paul?
Oh, yeah, 3 o'clock. Charlie, tell us the story of your link to the 3 o'clock at Leicester.
3 o'clock at Leicester. Midsummer Dance is the horse. I don't know whether to get your money on or not, Paul. My dad...
It's gone out from 7-1 to 9-1 last time. It's drifted slightly.
My dad announced the other day he's put some money into a horse. He's like a part owner. Yeah. I don't know how many owners there are of this horse. Mm. But he's a part owner of Midsummer Dance in the 3 o'clock at Leicester today. It's his first race as a horse owner. So I don't know if he's gone. I don't know if he's gone up in his barber and, you know, he's with Rupert Bell.
Yeah, like
Rupert
to think
Bell
he's...
gear.
But we've had a little flutter on it.
A little each way, and we'll take
We're not, please gamble responsibly.
Yes.
And we've say it has drifted a bit. It could be because of the ground. Maybe the ground is not... Midsummer Dance.
Midsummer Dance.
The ground may not be to its liking. We don't know. Look out for it.
Three o'clock at Leicester,
We'll keep an eye on that for you. So,
yeah, very nice.
Like you care.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby. Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. Yes, we told you just before the news and sport that Charlie's dad had a horse in the 3 o'clock. And he didn't bet on it. He's part owner of the horse that was in the 3 o'clock at Leicester.
I think he owns about a hoof. I don't know.
He owns a hoof. A small
part of the horse.
How did it get on, Charlie?
Came third, Paul.
Oh,
but
in the frame, that's
unfortunately,
good.
The each way is only first and second.
Ah, it was a small field, was it?
Small field, so I've lost my stake there.
Okay, but a pretty decent.
Not bad at all.
Pretty decent
but
run.
Good. That'll keep him coming
that's
back,
an improvement,
as they say.
Because its best run so far was a fourth, I think, in a bigger field. So
moving up.
Yeah.
Moving up, there we are. Very nice. People have asked, Paul, if the moose on tour can be a regular feature. Haven't enjoyed a travel programme as much in my life. Moose and Carl Pilkington must have been separated at birth.
Yeah, there is.
To send the moose to the greatest places on earth.
And he'll find things to complain about.
Just to moan about.
I'm going to pay 80 cents to go to the toilet.
I wanted to see the pyramids. It's cost me 25 quid.
Yeah.
You know.
He's the world's worst tourist. So we may catch up with him tomorrow. Now, if you've been watching Britain's Got Talent,
which
came to a conclusion at the weekend, you would have seen our next guest who went all the way to the semi-finals.
Did very well.
He certainly did. He's comedian Marcus Bourbon. Good afternoon, Marcus.
Hello again. Thanks for having me on.
Well, congratulations. I watched back the your first appearance on it, and it's a beautiful Britain's Got Talent edit where kind of they're all sitting there and they're saying, well, he's not very funny, is he? And then you go and do your bit and you storm it and you get through. But it's all in the edit where Britain's Got Talent.
They do like an edit for their own narrative. Yeah,
they certainly do.
What actually happened isn't necessarily what people saw.
So, I mean, why? I mean, look, it's a fantastic shop window for your talents and you get a lot of eyes on what you do. But, I mean, was it a fairly exhaustive process to get through, to get on air and get on TV?
Yeah, it is very exhaustive, and there's a lot of competition and a lot of people in my game are humming and hawing about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Listen, there's not a lot of opportunities for, you know, comics to get viewed, you know, especially at my seasoned campaigning. And so, you know, I'm very grateful for that opportunity. It's an enormous platform and it's good to do. It does come with its hazards, yeah.
But also you have got, you know, you've had two strokes, haven't you, Marcus?
I've got the narrative.
You've got a really nice backstory, you know, a really sad story.
They didn't start playing any Coldplay, though, when you told that story. They kept it emotive music free, didn't they, generally?
Yeah, I mean, given the backstory, I thought they could have been a bit more sympathetic.
Yeah.
One of the judges could have been a bit more sympathetic.
But it's great when it's someone like Marcus Paul, because Marcus is, you know, been a comedian ever since I started being a comedian, and you only ever see Marcus absolutely kill it in a club, absolutely brilliant, you know, absolutely brilliant comedian, known as a great writer, known as a brilliant comic.
It's nice to see me do quite average on.
I was going, what I actually was going, on earth. What material is Marcus going to, going through it in my mind, thinking, he's got no material he can actually do on primetime family television.
It was a bit like, and you'll understand this analogy where better, is like, it was a bit like getting into a cup final and all of my best 10 players I had to put on the bench, you know. It's restrictive, and I understand that given the nature of it, but some of the edits and some of the kind of discussion of what can't go on just seemed to be preposterous. Some of it made a lot of sense, but for reasons I probably won't go into here. But it's very censorious. It's a TV show, I suppose.
As a platform to get your name out there, to, you know, you were about to go on tour. I don't know if it's your first tour or
it is my first tour.
So
that's very exciting. I'm doing that in the autumn.
And have you tickets are on sale for the tour? Are they?
Yes. So you can. Here comes the plug. You can get them on MarcusBourbon.com.
And have you seen a sort of uplift in sales since Britain's Got Talent? Is it having a material difference, would you say?
Yes, it's good.
Brilliant.
I mean, it is a good platform for me, you know. And, I mean, as Charlie knows, there's a lot of really good comics. It's just trying to get a little bit of a leg up.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And that first kind of first sniff of that is so far so good.
So overall then, I mean, it probably put you off of high-vis jackets for life, but I mean, overall, are you pleased you did it? A good experience?
Yeah, well, for someone who's, you know, lost half his eyesight, I'm quite pleased that he had a high-vis jacket on.
Yeah.
At least I can see his act. You know. I mean, Viggo's a good friend of mine. I'm sure, I mean, you'll know him as well, Charlie. Everybody loves him as a human being and he's a terrific act. So it couldn't have gone to a better person. So, and I genuinely mean that. So that's lovely, and it's great that he's done well, and I think he played that brilliantly. I think the knock-on effect for me is grand, and certainly is good for him.
But I think what's great is that you know you're not a comic who's only got that 10 minutes, and then if you go and see you live, it's that 10 minutes, and then pad it out with. You know, I know that you've got an hour and a half of very, very good, strong, funny material. So when people come and see you, it's not going to be, it was fine. You know, it's going to be like, actually, they're going to be like, wow,
and of course,
this was really good.
Yeah,
this guy can actually do
it.
That's
all right. Yeah,
yeah. You can work from the blue book a bit more, can't you? Really, is
yeah.
there?
So
you can,
a bit of blue.
You can do
for the dads.
You can do some stuff for the dads. Yeah. No, you can. You can do stuff that you couldn't do on the telly.
Yeah. Now the trouble with that is you set that up now that everybody everybody's going to come and watch me. Expecting to see the gloves off.
And no stuff.
I don't know. I got painted on that as being like the shocking Marcus Burban, and you go, not really. I mean, it's just clever. I think it's clever and it's erudite, and sometimes it's a bit over the mark, maybe. But it's done with love and respect.
What's it like? I've never been on it. So what's it like when you're having to keep the secret that you've done it?
Yeah, you have to really... I mean, I didn't tell anyone. I told my daughter because she was on the show, and I told my girlfriend who again was on the show. And you do have to keep shtum about it, which is something difficult.
Imagine, Paul. I think you've got to...
No, it's okay. No. Just coming in sports-wise, we talked when you last in, Marcus, sports-wise, it's... you're not a big... You watch a bit of football now, and you're not the biggest of football fans, are you? There's other sports that you...
I like tennis. We're in the middle of tennis at the moment.
We were just talking to John Lloyd earlier on about a new... If you love a bit of vintage tennis, the Halcyon Days of Tennis, Gods of Tennis is a new documentary series on the iPlayer. He's involved with it, although he hasn't actually seen it yet. That was quite... He joined us from Florida. I said, well, tell us a bit about it, John. Well, I haven't actually seen it yet.
Was he lying down on a sun lounger?
I think he probably was.
He's from Leon Sea, where I'm from.
I know, that's right. I only noticed that today. I wouldn't have thought that, really. He hasn't got a Lee accent, has he?
Neither have I, really.
But no.
That's a shame you didn't win, because you could have bought Southend United.
We got a bit of...
With the 250,000 and my dad's horse. You could have had the other hoof.
The other three hooves I could have got.
Now, we're going to play Celebrity Combination Lock in a minute with Marcus.
I've not told you about this.
No. It's pretty straightforward. But we've got a very interesting bit of breaking news. We're going to get reaction to after we've brought you the lock. Jeremy Lieben's popped back in. I didn't see this coming, Jeremy. What's the story?
No, you're not the only one. No, absolutely massive news in the world of golf. So it's just been announced by the PGA Tour that the PGA Tour, DP World Tour and LIV Golf, most importantly, have agreed to merge commercial operations under common ownership. And now this has been announced by the PGA Tour, and they say it agreement establishes a common goal to promote and grow the game globally for the benefit of all stakeholders. And this is the big part. It ends all litigation that was ongoing between the different tours.
Great news for the Ryder Cup.
Absolutely.
But, you know, players have been told they're not going to play. I'll take it. Well, look, we'll deal with all this with Rupert in a minute. But that's come out of nowhere, hasn't it?
It has. I literally blindsided everybody. So they're calling it a landmark agreement to unify the game of golf on a global basis.
Yeah. Well, it's good. You're right. It's great, Johnny. Yeah. It's great for golf. It's great for people that like watching it and like seeing all the best players play against each other. And, I mean, they were pretty entrenched only a couple of months ago, but common ground has been found. Thank you very much.
No worries.
I'm sure I have more on that. We're going to catch up with Rupert Bell.
MarcusBurdman.com for tickets to Marcus's tour. Do you want to name any of the places you're going, Marcus?
I'm going everywhere. Apart from Scotland, I think. Next time. I'm doing it at Edinburgh Festival, so that's that. But in most big towns and cities.
Well, we'll tell you more about that big golf story after Celebrity Combination Lock.
Celebrity Combination Lock with your hosts, Paul Hawkesby and lock keeper, Charlie Baker.
Yeah, Celebrity Combination Lock, a very simple game. Our assistant producer, Jamie, has got a lot of fetid gym kit in a locker.
Stinking, he can't open it. Stinking the office out.
Complaints from other members. Yeah. We need to open that locker. Our trouble is, he's not got a great memory.
Yeah.
He has forgotten the combination.
You may have thought you've reached the zenith of light entertainment, Marcus, by being
it keeps going higher.
Britain's Got Talent, but here we are on Celebrity Combination Lock. The one rule is you do not knock the lock. Don't knock the lock.
Don't knock the lock, Marcus.
I haven't yet.
Jay needs to have the respect it deserves. Who's played it so far this season?
Chloe Petz,
Mike Fenton,
Stephen Grant, Jarlath Regan, Jack Whitehall,
Kevin Day, John McClure from Reverend and the Makers, some of the people that have played it. The closest anyone got, which is quite important, two correct numbers, two in the correct place, was our old mate Kevin Day. 1497, said Kevin. So 1497. Two of those numbers are right, Marcus, and they're in the correct place. 1497. So bear that in mind. as you give us the four numbers to hopefully open the lock. Let's have your four numbers.
Four numbers. Marcus Burbman. MarcusBurbman.com for tickets while he's thinking.
It's a flimsy premise. Let's not...
Knock the lock. That sounded like a knocking lock.
It's gossamer thin.
I'm knocking my own state of mental awareness. I have no idea.
One, 1497. Two of those numbers are in the combination.
Yeah. Wait. 1497. Two of the numbers are correct.
So you need to use at least two of those numbers.
Yes, in those places.
And let's go 2197.
2197. Let's put those numbers in.
Let's put them in, yeah.
2197.
And here we go. Are they correct? Quite low budget as well.
Putting them in.
Putting them in, yeah.
Don't you knock the lock.
Oh, I'm knocking
the
lock.
You're part of the lock. You're part of the lock. That was because Paul knocked the lock during the numbers.
How many were correct?
Two
were right. How many in the correct place, the voice of the lock?
One
was in the correct place with two.
That's not a shambles.
That's not a bad.
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
And the other thing is, you didn't knock the lock. No, so you may get to play it another time.
I mean, you set that up for me to knock the lock.
keep
pushing me.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Live on TalkSport tomorrow night, the Europa Conference League final. The Moose is a seasoned West Ham fan. Had to be there, of course. We're going to find out why he's driving solo all the way to Prague from Hertfordshire. He's putting it all out on his social media places, TikTok and Twitter, etc. If you want to follow his trip, he's doing little videos. And let's give you a flavour of those now.
I'll tell you what, it might be fun. You come with me to Prague for the journey. France, Germany, bit of Belgium and Holland as well. Who knows where this road trip might take us?
Oh. Well, based on what you've said, France, Germany, and a little bit of Holland as well.
Hopefully, the Czech Republic at the end of it.
He's creating clips of the week for us. Hello, Moose.
Hello, boys. That was recorded about 3:30 this morning when I was half asleep.
Where are you now?
I'm about an hour and a half. 2 hours away from Frankfurt.
Oh, wow. So you're making pretty decent time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the roads in Belgium and I mean, this idea that you can drive at whatever speed you want in Germany is absolute nonsense, because I've had stupid truck drivers just literally stopping in front of me and driving at like 40 miles an hour, sorry, 40 kilometres, wherever it is over here.
It's crazy.
I mean,
I think they're allowed to drive faster than that.
Yeah, they could at least make an effort. And this road works. I mean, obviously, this road works. I mean, we have road works. Why shouldn't the people on the continent have road works as well? Just to join in the fun of passing mile upon mile of cones with nobody actually doing anything. I mean, you know, it's great fun to watch that when you're driving up and down the M25, but, you know, not maybe so much when you're, you know, passing Brussels and Cologne and places like that. But anyway, there we go.
Not exactly Michael Palin, is it?
No. So you've never been the greatest tourist, having toured with you for TalkSport, Moose. So this doesn't surprise me.
I've got to say, I did get really annoyed when I went. It's happened in Belgium and it's happened in Germany. When you stop at a service station to go and take a comfort break, shall we say?
Yeah.
They charge you.
Oh yeah.
Right. You walk into Newport Pagnell, you can go and use the loo for nothing. You walk into, you know, any services, you know, Beaconsfield or wherever. Yeah. It's free of charge. Here it's 80 cents.
80 cents. Euros.
80
really?
Euros or whatever, 1 euro. I don't know, whatever
it is. Probably 80 euros.
80 euros. Depends what you're doing.
It's a scam they've got going.
They saw you coming.
We were right. Back off Brussels, as the pub landlord would say. Yeah, 80 euros.
It's cost me a fortune. I actually had a word with a woman. I had a word with her. She didn't really understand what I was saying in Belgium. But anyway, there we go. I was saying, listen, we don't charge your lorry drivers when you come to England to go and have a break.
Basically,
people from Brussels to Cologne to Leipzig are saying, I met this place, the rudest man I've ever met.
No wonder I'm
really pleased they left. Their people are saying in various languages today when they meet up.
I was just making a point. I mean, you know, in our country, it's absolutely free of charge to go to use a service station for what you should use a service station for. Yeah. Over here, literally, you've got to have your credit card with you because you can't get in otherwise. Wow. You've got the little. Like you get to a turnstile. Anyway, it's not all been bad. Anyway,
no, well, that's good to hear. Have you got you've got a ticket to the you got a ticket to the match? Have you?
Yeah, I've got a ticket to the game. I was on the boat with quite a few West Ham fans this morning who I haven't got tickets. They're travelling down similar way to the way I'm doing it, just by by road, and they haven't got a ticket. So they're either going to watch it in the fan park in Prague, or they're going to try their best to get a ticket outside. But I mean. That's going to cost an absolute arm and a leg. Normally touts would charge a fortune for any game, but for this final, West Ham fans, the amount of West Ham fans that will be looking for tickets, I would think that's going to be an absolute fortune.
And why did you decide to drive? Was it you simply couldn't get a flight? Or?
Yeah, plus I haven't got any friends. So,
well, you can fly on your own now.
No, it was. I only got the ticket over the weekend, so by that stage it was hard. I mean, the best flight I could find was via Vienna. Right. And it would take a grand total, I think it was 35 hours. I mean, I figured having done a London Marathon, I could probably walk it quicker than that.
Yeah.
So, although you were talking about things overtaking, I was overtaken doing the marathon by someone dressed as a rhino with crutches, but that's another matter.
Not just a rhino with crutches. Yeah, an injured rhino.
That was a particularly low point of that afternoon. Yeah. But no, I mean, it wasn't feasible really in terms of how long it was going to take and also the amount the airlines were obviously then charging to get you anywhere near. I mean, my cousin's flying over from the game from Miami. He's gone from Miami to Warsaw into Prague. So, I mean, there's not even a direct flight from the States. So, I decided the best policy, and it would be fun as well, you know, a bit of culture.
Yeah, good fun, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Moaning at people for charging you for having a wee.
I'm looking at the map. Your route in would appear, if you're near Frankfurt, you've obviously gone a slightly different route. You're not far from Mainz, I don't think. Then you've got Nuremberg. Mm. Then you'll get into, or Pilsen. You're not a big beer drinker, Moose, so that might be lost if you're looking for. But then you go from Pilsen.
Well, if they do Diet Coke, it'll be all right.
I'm sure they will. Oh, yeah. And then Pilsen into Prague that you'll be doing.
Yeah, I mean Oktoberfest. France to Belgium was pretty quick. I needed to make sure I turned left at Luxembourg to get into to Germany. I managed to recognise that signpost because it actually had Luxembourg written in English. Again, the signposts aren't very helpful over here. They're all written in German. I'm having to sort of guess at some of the signposts. I mean, you know, 80 miles an hour is not 80 miles an hour, it's 80 kilometres an hour. Yeah. So while I'm trying to do 80 miles an hour, everyone else is doing 50.
Because you're abroad, Moose. That's what happens when you're abroad. You know, you just find sometimes that things are different. So anyway, good luck.
No problem.
What time you expect to get? You're gonna keep going and then get to Prague tonight? Is that the plan or what?
No, I think what I might do is I might stop somewhere like Nuremberg or as close as I can get to the Czech Republic and find a hotel. I mean, I can't imagine there's anything going on necessarily in those places, Nuremberg or Mainz or whatever, later on tonight. So the hotel room should be relatively easy to get hold of.
You'll find something to do.
Nuremberg, you'll find plenty going on there.
No, but you know what I mean. It's not like Prague where literally every hotel room and and 10 so, spaces have been taken.
You'll find somewhere, yes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show as it all unfolded. I'm not here tomorrow. Andy and Charlie will be here lovely. Building up to our big game of football.
Garfunkel.
Hey! West Ham in a big European final tomorrow night. That's live on TalkSport and the guys will be building up, I'm sure. The Uber tourist, the Moose, will be part of that coverage as well. I'll be back Thursday for the birthday spread more. Enjoy the show tomorrow. And don't forget, if you can't listen to the boys tomorrow, the podcast will be available, as always, around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.